Breadbox Media invites you to connect with us. Visit breadboxmedia.com to download the app. Connect with us via social media. Give us your feedback. Get to know your show hosts. Find the program schedule and more. Breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome to an Engaging Faith. I'm your host, Elizabeth Reardon, here on Breadbox Media. Now, it is always wonderful to be here. Today was an especially good day. What a joy it is to share with you this book that is out by Pauline Books and Media, and it is entitled The Journey of Our Love, The Letters of St. Gianna, Beretta, and Pietro Mola. And I'm very excited because though we do not have the author, are the editor of these letters, what we do have is a very good friend of mine, Kathy Nipper, and she is the publicist at Pauline Books and Media, and she joins us to share her thoughts and passion for this book, Journey of Our Love. And as a publicist at Pauline Books and Media, she finds herself, and she said this, surrounded by books, blessed to work with many talented authors. Sometimes, however, God reaches out with his grace and touches with the words of an author I will never have the opportunity to meet. And that is true of this book on Gianna and Pietro Mola. So just a reminder, it is a live show. So if you are listening in and wish to talk to Kathy or I, the number is 573-4BREAD-4. That's 573-4-BREAD-4. So, Kathy, so wonderful to have you on the show.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for having me. It's such a great opportunity to talk about this wonderful book.
Well, and before we do that, you know, Kathy, over the course of the last year, you and I have worked together to bring some of these amazing authors of Pauline Books and Media on the show to allow their voice to be heard. Yet, with the true authors of today's book being St. Gianna and Pietro themselves, I'm delighted to be able to have you join me for this great conversation.
Well, I can't wait to share with all of your listeners this wonderful book and the message within, which is just so important.
Well, and Kathy, you know, like myself, something that people, all these publicists that work at these amazing Catholic books and media companies, they all have lives where they have their families, they have their commitments too, but they devote themselves. Sometimes, Kathy, I catch you working and burning the midnight oil, replying to emails. So, but like myself, you've been married for a number of years now and have several grown children in, I would say, a relatively empty nest.
Yes, it's pretty much empty, and that does make me sad some days, but it is relatively empty. I have my last bird flew the coop or the nest in September of this past year. So, yes, we are officially empty nesters, though we did get a new dog because we needed something.
Well, yes. I mean, as women, we have that nurturing tendency as well anyway.
Correct.
So, and at least with a dog or a cat, you know, they're appreciative.
A dog so appreciative. You
yes.
Can't even imagine. But it does help fill the emptiness, so to speak. So.
Right. Well, though in a different place now after 20 plus years of marriage, I still remember how foundational that time was spent getting to know one another, spending time apart, and growing together in love for God and one another, which is something I find true in this book.
So true. And it I have to say, and as you know, when I first received this book, my middle child, my oldest daughter, was engaged to be married. And I think while it's very exciting to be married and have all that newness and whatever you sometimes look at, your particular situation and say, wow, I remember when I felt like that, or wow, I remember. And then you look at this book and you look at St. Gianna and you think, especially if you see the cover of this book, and for those of you who can have seen the cover of this book, it's just, it's such a wonderful photo of the two of them together at the top of this mountain, and he, Pietro's gazing at her with such love, and she's gazing out with such joy, and you think, well, she was a saint. She didn't have all the trials and tribulations that I have in day-to-day thing. And even though she was a modern-day saint, which makes her, to me, even more special, she did not have that lack of trials and tribulations. She had an incredibly busy life. She was a professional. He was a professional. They met rather late in life for their time, even really a little bit for our time now. She was 32, he was 42. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they started their family pretty quickly, and but they remained professionals throughout their marriage, both of them. They remained active in the community. They both had extremely large extended families that they, and this book, in the foreword, they do mention this. They did, once they were married and involved in their professions and their families, they did not, their extended family remained a very big part of their lives, and then the children, as they came, you know, raising the children and their day-to-day things that they needed to do with that when the children were ill or they were apart or there was a business trip or there was a need for vacation, but one of them couldn't join them right away. And they had all those modern-day issues that we had, but yet they lived each day with such appreciation, such faith, such love. It was amazing to me as I read through their letters.
Right. And well, I remember even within my own marriage that there were times early on in our courtship and marriage where my husband and I, who then was in the Army, would send letters back and forth. And in this, you know, technological age as we have now, many couples are less inclined to write long letters, and instead they opt for those short texts or simply to call one another. And that's a loss, I feel, in today's society.
Definitely. And I laugh when you say this, strictly because one of my daughters recently said to me, you don't know what it's like to have a long-distance relationship. And then I laughed at her, and I said, you have to understand, when your father was in the Army and we were dating, we had two means of communication, letters, mm-hmm, and the telephone, which we shared with all the other humans in the house. And yeah. And that the letters really, in our own family recently, my mother-in-law passed away, and my adult daughter went down to her house and found a whole box, ironically or providentially, however you want to say, on my in-law's anniversary, she found a whole box of their love letters when they were dating that my mother-in-law had saved, that no one knew she had saved. And that history of those letters is just so wonderful. And you see that here in this book. And you see in the foreword, their daughter, she translated all of the of his letters, and very painstakingly, as she writes in the foreword, he wrote all his letters in green ink, which that evidently that was his signature style, and she painstakingly transcribed these letters, and in doing so, she wrote how she came to know her father more and know of his love for her mother, and what a true saint he was in his own right. She doesn't actually use those words, but they often use the words in talking about each other. And if we could just remember that, and in our day-to-day life, they often use the words, you are my treasure, you are my diamond, you are my gold, you are my... Mm. And they use these such... special terms of endearment and this longing to be together when they are separated with his business trips, which were frequent. And you see that, and we, you know, you can't get
right.
it. As much as I'm a Twitter girl and I love Twitter, you can't get that in 140 characters. So,
right.
and these long, wonderful letters that people wrote to each other, it just really, I think, you know, we lose that when we don't have that in their relationship. And I remember my husband saying sometimes he only was able to get through basic camp knowing that I was going to write him every day. And there was an occasional time mm-hmm. I missed a day, and he would tell me it
right.
made me sad I didn't get a letter. So anyway, I think you're right that we do miss much of this in this society where we don't write letters anymore.
Right, and I think there is something also to be said for that absence, too. When you're apart, you know, they say absent makes the heart grow fonder, but it's certainly, when you write, it calls forth that ability to kind of describe your feelings.
Right.
In a way
right.
that you can't really do when, you know, you're seeing them all the time and they know those feelings. So you're having to articulate it in a different way. And I think that's a gift as well. It certainly is a treasure for me to have these letters, which we have all together and bound, and one day our children will discover them as well. So we are going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to hear more from Kathy Nipper. We're talking about this book, A Journey of Our Love, here on An Engaging Faith with Elizabeth Reardon on Redbox Media.
Breadbox Media invites you to connect with us. Visit breadboxmedia.com to download the app. Connect with us via social media. Give us your feedback. Get to know your show hosts. Find the program schedule and more. breadboxmedia.com.
If not us, then who? If not me. Well, it's time for us to do something, yeah.
Welcome back. And you are listening to An Engaging Faith with Elizabeth Reardon here on Breadbox Media. Now, we are joined today by Kathy Nipper, and we are discussing The Journey of Our Love, The Letters of St. Gianna Beretta and Pietro Mola. It is edited by Elio Guerriero, I think is the correct way of pronouncing his name.
And I think that's about the exact same way I would pronounce it as well. I am Italian, but unfortunately I don't speak Italian. And yes, I believe Guerriero is as close as you and I are going to come to it.
Well, and it's amazing just to say that when I was in Rome, I know that I butchered the Italian language, but they were so gracious about that. They were just so thankful that I was trying.
Uh-huh.
So I really appreciated their kindness with that. But when we're looking at this book, now it features the correspondence in letters between now St. Gianna and Pietro Mola, and chronicles their journey from friendship to engagement through their relatively brief time being married when, for those listening, St. Gianna died giving birth to their fourth child. And so we are given these letters now as Pietro had requested that they not be released until after his death.
Correct.
So,
together. Her letters were released in another book that we published a while back. However, he did not want his letters published until after his death. He was a very private and shy man, and in the foreword, they make reference to he was his father was a shoemaker, and he was sent away to school. His parents made great sacrifices so that their 8 living children would be educated, and he was sent away to study at age 11, and he was sent to a rather strict but a very comprehensive school, and it was indicated in the foreword that possibly that made him shy and reserved growing up, that time away from his family at a very young age, and it took him most of his life to overcome that and become a more open person. But he was almost, he was in his late 90s when he did, when he finally died in 2010. So he lived a very long life.
Which is an amazing testament. Most people that share that love that they had, which was so clearly visible. I see it so often in ministry. They're so connected that they don't live, as long as they possibly you would think would by reasons of health or age. But it is a beautiful thing now to know that he was able to witness that love. So visibly, and then, to for that time to be his way of expressing what she meant to him.
Correct. And you see that love pouring through on the pages, and you also see his, he respected her so much, and I believe he is the only spouse of a saint who was present at the canonization. I believe that to be true. I'll have to Google that when our interview is over, but I believe he was the only spouse of a saint present at the canonization. And you think of all the years that he lived. He lived 48 years on earth without her after her death, and she you were speaking earlier about couples who are very well connected and one will die and the other will die shortly afterwards. You see that with Gianna's own parents. Her parents died within 6 months of each other when she was a young woman, mm-hmm. when she was in her 20s. So, many of us have heard that happening, but he went on to be a testament to her faith and her strong fortitude and her physical, her professional, and her spiritual strength. And he and that was his life's work, to raise his children and extend that strength that she had to the community, to his children, to his family, and to his work.
Right, and their daughter, Gianna Emanuela, the one for whom St. Gianna died giving birth to, she was present at her mother's canonization. And, after the death of her father in 2010, you were talking a little bit about this, like their relationship, but she had written, "Now that you are in heaven with Mama forever, I really don't know how to thank the Lord for the immense gift he gave me, together with the gift of life, two holy parents."
Yes, and you see that with her. She exudes the joy of her mother that you imagine. I mean, I never met her mother, but that you imagine her mother would have with the world. And as well as I that when a saint comes into our life often, they want a special friendship with us. And I believe since I have come to the Daughters of St. Paul, St. Gianna specifically is inviting me into friendship. The very first book that I read here was our smaller children's book, ESS children's book, Encounter the Saints series on St. Gianna. I had no idea who she was until I read that little book. And then my friendship with her has grown in reading this book, The Journey of Our Love, and then with my great, great blessing of being able to meet her daughter at World Meeting of Families this past September. And she was there along with the foundation, and they are restoring Gianna's home, and it's going to be like a shrine and visiting place, and they're restoring it. And I personally was very, very blessed. It was a quiet moment before the exhibits opened, and she came into the Gianna Emanuela came into the exhibit area, and she saw the exhibit of their home that's being restored, and she just had such joy on her face, and she was so welcoming and present to everyone at World Meeting of Families. Obviously, she was a keynote speaker there, and she had several people, you know, her entourage helping her, and they had such trouble getting her away from the crowds because she wanted to be with them. She wanted to be present with them. She wanted to spread the joy and message of her parents, her mother and her parents, to them. And one of the lovely little stories from that is our own sister Carmen heard a little boy and his mother were meeting Gianna Emanuela, and the little boy came up to his mother, and she said she thought he was probably about 8 years old, and he said, "Mama, I've never met the child of a saint before." Mm. And I thought to myself, how blessed we are that we have this just amazing opportunity, that we are in the presence of, many of us are in the presence of living saints and we don't even realize it, but then we are in the presence of the families of these true saints of our time. And it was such a great blessing to witness her witness at World Meeting of Families.
Well, I think that this witness that we're seeing of some of the more modern day saints, I think it gives us that pause to really consider that God could be calling each one of us to be saints. And just because it's difficult, you know, it can be very difficult to be holy, you know, to live that holiness with all of our relationships. But just because something is difficult, and I'm sure if those are listening and they really think of it, just because it's difficult does not mean it's not worth trying.
Right. Exactly. And it is amazing, you know, I'm just going to do a quote right here that I look at. It says, "To Pietro, Gianna was a woman of celebration, the wife who infused everyday life with an atmosphere of joy." And think of those words, every day and joy. When I think of every day, I think of, you know, the day-to-day things that you have to do over and over again that could be drudgery. But, you know, like Mother Teresa said, it's not what we do. It's the love that we do it with that, you know, is the measure. And if we all could continually remind ourselves of that, and, you know, like you said in previously before the break, of that absence makes the heart grow fonder, I think, you know, Pietro had many business trips, and that they had time apart, and they appreciated each other more because of that. But even from the very beginning, from their engagement, she asked that they go to Mass and that they attend Mass together. But separately. Together but separately where they were, and that their prayers would be joined together. And
well, we are going to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to hear more and discuss more of the journey of our love, the letters to St. Gianna Beretta and Pietro Mola, here on An Engaging Faith with Elizabeth Verdon on Redbox Media.
If not now, then when will we see?
Bread
Breadbox Media invites you to connect with us. Visit breadboxmedia.com to download the app. Connect with us via social media. Give us your feedback. Get to know your show hosts. Find the program schedule and more. breadboxmedia.com.
If not us, then who? If not me and you, right now. Well, it's time for us to do something, yeah.
Welcome back. And you are listening to An Engaging Faith with Elizabeth Reardon here on Breadbox Media. And we are joined today with Kathy Nipper, and we are discussing Journey of Our Love, the letters of St. Gianna Beretta and Pietro Mola, and it is available through Pauline Books and Media. And, you know, we are discussing this idea of holiness and this idea of that it's not such an elusive concept, that we are all called to holiness and we're all called to really bring that to our spouse within our marriage. And that's what it means to have that sacramental marriage. And is that always easy? No. But it is definitely, it's a blessing when we're able to live up to even a part of that. One of the things when I look at the life of Gianna and Pietro is that they really sought to lift one another up constantly. I mean, even writing to one another, you can see the transformation of their own mood from the beginning to the end. Gianna writes, "As I have told you other times, your faith and your piety are a great example to me. I want to learn to pray as you do, dear Pietro. I recommend to you, stay happy. Understand? I think about you every moment of the day, and the distance between us seems less difficult." So isn't this, Kathy, what we are called to do within our marriage, to seek to lead our spouse to heaven?
Yes, yes. And it is, you know, it is what we are called to do. And I think when we see others, especially our spouse, sometimes we can see in them the things that they don't see in themselves. And in when Gianna's letters were first published without Pietro's, he wrote a small piece talking about her, and he said, in that year of our engagement, Gianna, in her humility, wrote to me, "Pietro, if I could only be for you the strong woman of the Scriptures, instead I feel weak." And he said, in reality, she was a strong woman from the beginning. She willingly moved to a little villa on the property of the company, which I was the manager. Even during the prolonged and very worrisome strikes from 1956 to 58, she did not ask to move, but rather shared in my worries and trials, supporting me in my work, knowing that living there would make it easier for me to fulfill my tasks and responsibilities. And sometimes it is a part of that sacrifice, just making the day-to-day life easier because it's the right thing to do. It's as little as, you know, the other day my husband got my travel mug down from the cabinets in our kitchen that are way too high for me, and I always have to get out of stool because I'm vertically challenged and get the travel mug and take it down. And I went to go get my travel mug for my coffee for work, and there it was. And I said, oh, I'll have to remember to thank him. And you don't, so it's looking at those little things. I once read something, not in this particular book, but of a woman who said she was always cranky with her husband. I'm often I often fall into that category. And she made a resolution to just notice the little things and say thank you. And so she started doing that. And over time, she realized that their marriage had strengthened and grown, and she didn't feel so cranky anymore because she was looking at thankful. And again, it's that whole gratefulness aspect and that thankfulness aspect. And the more we see the good in others, the more that's going to come back to us. and especially in our spouse. And I think everyone personally has their own things that they feel inadequate with. And if we can, and we might not see our spouse in that in a way that they feel inadequate, we may see them as actually strong in that area, whereas they don't see themselves as strong in that area, and we need to help build them up and do that for them. And it's a wonderful thing when it does happen, because I think it's why we're together in this journey.
Right, and that's a great point too, because some of our some of the faults that we see most clearly, that the one who really loves us, right, you know, they don't see it necessarily as a fault. They understand because they love us, and their goal is not to always point it out. At least that's what it shouldn't be, but more of to work with us and to help show us what the right way to deal with things, you know, the right way to approach a situation. One of the gifts that their daughter noticed in their relationship is that they really were meeting one another, as she put it, becoming one heart and soul. You know, one, not separate individuals, but they were sensitive to one another's needs, and there was that complementary nature of their relationship and the striving together, right? So even though they had their own individual needs, they were so sensitive and so aware of one another that it was almost like they were filling in for where one was missing. You know?
Right. And one of the things that, you know, as much as they were joyous and thankful and gracious, and they did have, Gianna came from a wealthier background than Pietro, they still definitely had their share of troubles. But one of the things that is very apparent in the book and throughout the book is that she had great anxiety over him flying. And this is one of the things that came out very much to me in the book, that, well, a saint wouldn't worry, but she had great anxiety over this flight, which wasn't necessarily new, but it was relatively new at that time. And, you know, I heard a speaker once say, you know, when a plane crashes, your chances of you know, a bad thing happening are much greater than, you know, a car crash. But by the same token, she had this great, great anxiety with him flying, and he wrote a prayer of my flights, because he knew that was something that really bothered her. So he wrote this poem prayer that he would say so that she would not be so worried and that he would be protected in his flights. And he did a lot of puddle jumper flights, especially during his extended business trip that he had in America. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times he wouldn't tell her he was flying until later on. And we see that, you know, in our modern day life. Well, if, you know, my spouse is really worried about this, you know, and I know there's no fear. I have no fear of it, but my spouse does. I'll try not to upset them, you know, with it. And I think, you know, he kept from her that he was doing these puddle jumper flights once in a while because he knew of her anxiety and he didn't feel that it was right. And plus, again, as we were speaking earlier, they only had letters and the phone, and international phone calls at that time were very prohibitive. And so they only had letters. And if he wrote her a letter, oh, on Tuesday I'm taking this flight, and then he knows she would worry until she got another letter from him. And so that was one of the things that struck me very much in the book, is her anxieties about his flying and the things he did to help her overcome that anxiety, because he did have to fly. It was part of his job.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you see him really seeking to comfort her, but then her comforting him as well, as it came close to the time of her giving birth.
Right.
Right. and St. Gianna's decision to sacrifice her life for the sake of her newborn fourth child, you know, it was never in question for her. She writes, "This time my pregnancy will be difficult, and they will have to save one or the other, and I want them to save the baby." So when within hours of her daughter's birth, for those listening, St. Gianna developed septic perioditis and faced death the same way she had embraced life, with faith and courage. And she called to Jesus for help, and she, you know, clasped and kissed the crucifix. But she wanted Pietro to know that her faith was strengthening her, and that he didn't really, that he didn't have to go through this alone either.
Right, and he, there is a point in the book where he talks about that she had held the baby, and she had gazed at the baby with great love and sorrow, knowing that she would not be there to raise the child, but that was her wish to, you know, that the child would be saved and not herself. But again, though it was a difficult pregnancy, and in the beginning she was, you know, that was offered as a abortion was offered as a solution to this tumor that she had. And if you think about it, at that time in 1961, that was groundbreaking surgery. That was groundbreaking.
It was. Well, I want to thank you, Kathy, for joining us today to discuss this wonderful book, The Journey of
Love. It is a wonderful book.
And so go out and buy it, everyone. It's available through Pauline Books and Media. And thank you all for listening and joining us here for An Engaged Faith with Elizabeth Reardon on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media invites you to connect with us. Visit breadboxmedia.com to download the app. Connect with us via social media. Give us your feedback. Get to know your show hosts. Find the program schedule and more. breadboxmedia.com.